Good morning, everybody. Today, I am going to dig out a message that I've done a few times in the past. And Belinda and I got to go camping up at Priest Lake a couple weeks ago. And if you've ever been up at Priest Lake at night, there's not a whole lot of lights out there. So if you take the time to look up, the stars are absolutely amazing. Belinda and I are kind of star nerds. We like to put our loungers out at night when when it gets dark, and we watch the Pleiades meteor showers. And I have an app on my phone for the International Space Station. And I don't know if any of you have ever seen the International Space Station go over, but it's pretty bright. And what's cool about the app and watching it go over is you can actually see where it is. Because if you look up and you watch it go across the sky, it looked like it was coming up when I could see it, and it was like about over Hilliard. And then when it disappeared, I thought, oh, it must be like on the other side of Coeur d'Alene. But if you look at it on the app, when you first detect it in the western sky, it is out past Alaska in the ocean. And last night I watched it until it disappeared, and then I looked at my map. It was over Bismarck, North Dakota when it disappeared. I mean, we can't comprehend. There are certain things that we take for granted. We look up, we see stars, and we think, oh, there are stars. But have we ever really taken the opportunity to try to put it in perspective how far those things really are? And so what I wanted to do today is we're going to start with a verse in the Psalms, in chapter 8, verses 3 through 4. It says, "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings, that you care for them." This verse says that God placed all of those stars that we see and take for granted in the night sky. He set them in place. He didn't grab a handful of stars and cast them out. It says he set them in place. Now, how big does God have to be able to reach out and set the stars in their place? And in fact, it says he named them as well. But we have a hard time comprehending what that really means. So today, what I want to do is I want to set up... How many of you ever had to do a model of the solar system when you were in school, and it's just one of those things that you had to do, and you had the sun, and then you had the earth and the moon and all the Jupiter and all Pluto and all that stuff, and all just kind of doing this? Well, it was a scale model, but it wasn't to scale. So today I want to do as best as I can, make this the universe, this room that we're in right now. So that is going to be the universe. So what we're going to do is we're going to build our own scale model. And I'm going to need some help. So Mason said, yeah, I would love to help. So I'm going to have Mason come forward. And so what we're going to do, if this is the universe that we're in here in the sanctuary, we are going to make the earth this, what is that? It's a popcorn kernel. So this is the earth. Now, if you can imagine, that's the size of the earth. Can you see yourself on there?
No.
Not really, huh? No.
A little bit.
A little, you can, okay. So that's going to be to scale. So I'm going to need you to come and stand over in this corner. So that's where we're going to put the earth. All right? Our popcorn kernel earth. Now, the moon is about a quarter the size of the earth. So I'm going to need Maverick to come forward. So what is this, Maverick? What does it look like?
BB.
It's a BB. It's a BB. All right, so now we've established that this is the universe here, and Mason is holding our popcorn Earth. Does anybody know how far away the moon is from the Earth, roughly? How much? 280,000 miles. That's pretty close. It's 239,000 miles. All right, so Maverick, according to the scale that we're establishing here, knowing that the moon is 239,000 miles away from the Earth, I need you to go and show me how far to scale the moon is from the Earth. 239,000 miles? Is he getting colder or warmer? Colder. Warmer. It's not touching. So according to the scale that we are establishing today, 239,000 miles is 3 inches from the Earth. So go ahead and hover at 3 inches from the Earth. Okay, so we've established how far the moon is. How many of you notice super moons, super blood moons, all these different kinds of moons? I love them. I think they're beautiful. And it's crazy how the moon looks bigger when it's on the horizon than when it is up in the thing or in the sky, even though it's not any bigger. But it gives you a better perspective of how big it is when you have something to compare it to. How many of you have ever gone on a long road trip in the car? Everybody? A long road trip on a plane? Everybody? Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to establish some things first. So we're going to take a trip, and we're going to go to the moon from the Earth, 239,000 miles away. So if we have a car, do we have that video? Just a car? Yep, that's it. If you're driving in a car and you're going the speed limit on the freeway, you should be going 70 miles an hour. Some of you probably going a lot faster. Some of you going a lot slower in the left lane. Shame on you. But as for average, we're going to use 70 miles an hour in a car, okay? An airplane travels at 21. An airplane, do we have that one, or are we going right to the next one? It shows, there we go. If you're flying, you are going approximately 550 miles an hour, which is a lot quicker than a car, correct? All right, now we're also going to take a look at the speed of light. So I have here a flashlight. And if I take this flashlight and I turn it on, it looks like it instantaneously shines on the wall, does it not? I click it, it's on. But it's actually taking a little bit of time, no matter how microscopic, it is taking time to go from here to be projected onto the wall. All right? Light travels at 186,000 miles per second. That is 670 million miles an hour. That's how fast light travels. All right, so let's go back to our Earth, and we want to take a drive to the moon. Going at an average of 70 miles an hour, which is 239,000 miles away, if you are going to take a car, it's going to take you 4.5 months to get to the moon, to drive to the moon. I have a trip coming up to the Oregon coast that's going to take me about 6 to 7 hours, and I'm dreading it. Can you imagine hopping in your car and going to the moon? It's going to take you 4.5 months nonstop, no pee breaks, no lunch, no dinner, no breakfast to get there in 4.5 months. No, thank you. If you left today on that trip, you would not reach the moon until December 7th. That's how long it would take you to get there. If you're going to take an airplane, it would take you 19 days to get to the moon. I went on a trip with my daughter to Paris and parts of France and Italy, and we flew out of Frankfurt, Germany, coming home. It took 14 hours to get to Denver. I cannot imagine being on a plane for 19 days. 14 hours was enough for me. Thank you very much. But if you wanted to take a plane to the moon, that moon that you see up in the stars or up in the sky, it would take you 19 days to get there. How fast do you think it takes the light reflecting off of the moon to reach Earth? Because remember, it does take time. How long does it take the light to travel 239,000 miles? I got 1 minute. Anybody else? 8 minutes and 20 seconds. So when you look up at the moon, the light that you are actually perceiving and seeing left the moon 8 minutes and 20 seconds ago. And is now reaching you. See, we look up in the sky and we think, oh, I'm instantaneously seeing a star or the moon, and I'm seeing it in real time. No, you're not. You're seeing it as it's been projected 8 minutes and 20 seconds ago. And by that time, it's already moved a little bit. Are you starting to understand a little bit about perspective? All right, so now we want to introduce the sun into our solar system. And Haley, first of all, if our Earth is the size of a popcorn kernel and the moon is the size of a BB, in relation, in scale, in our scale model, how big is the sun? Basketball? It's close. It's a volleyball. This is how big the sun is. Come on, Haley, you're the handler of the sun. So we have the Earth, we have the moon, 3 inches away, which is 239,000 miles. Haley has the sun, and the sun is 93 million miles away from the Earth. So Haley, where do you have to stand? Nope. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Head that way. That's about right. About 78 feet away from our popcorn kernel Earth and our BB moon. That's where the sun is, and that's the size in relation to those two. 93 million miles away. Anybody tell me how long it would take if you took a car to go to the sun? 93 million miles, it would take you 200 years to travel from the Earth to the sun. If Ulysses S. Grant, does everybody know who Ulysses S. Grant is? If he would have left on the day he was born, he would be arriving sometime this year. 200 years in a car. 93 million miles. If you were to take an airplane, it would take you 21 years. 21 years ago, Wikipedia was introduced. And so was iTunes. 21 years ago. So if you left when iTunes and Wikipedia came on the scene, you'd just now be arriving on a plane at the sun. Okay? Light. How long does it take? Oh, wait a minute. I was wrong on the moon one. On the sun, the light takes 8 minutes and 20 seconds. 8 minutes and 20 seconds to get from there to there. Traveling at 670 million miles an hour. So when we feel that heat from the sun, we're feeling the heat that was given off 8 minutes ago. So that's how long it would take. All right, so we've pretty much used up most of our solar system here as far as our limitations, correct? Now we're going to talk stars. The nearest star. The nearest star is 4.3 light years away. The nearest star that is giving off light that I saw last night was given off 4.3 light years ago. It's hard to fathom, is it not? How close that is. So where would we have to put our model if we were going to include the nearest star to our popcorn kernel Earth? First of all, we would have to pick up the entire sanctuary and put it in San Diego, California. Okay? And then you would have to drive all the way to New York City and hop on a boat and go 1,000 miles into the Atlantic Ocean before you reached our first star. That's the one that we can see, the one that's closest to us. The closest is 1,000 miles in the Atlantic Ocean. If you wanted to take a car, forget about it. If you wanted to take an airplane and take it to the nearest star, and Elon Musk said, I'll take you to the nearest star, and we're going to average about 500 miles an hour, it would take you 51 million years to get there. Remember, God placed these things. So when I first introduced this, you're like, oh yeah, they're just right there. No. No, they are not just right there. It would take you 51 million years to take an airplane to get to the closest star in our galaxy. So now we're going even deeper. So you guys, let's give them a big hand. You guys can sit down. You can keep your BB, and you can keep your popcorn kernel. I want the volleyball back. So most of the stars, thank you, Haley. Most of the stars that we see with the naked eye, when you just go out, you don't use a telescope, you don't use anything else. Most of the stars that we see with the naked eye are 100 to 1,000 light years away. And remember, that's the light that they emitted, and it takes that long to get to what we can see today. A few can be seen that are 4,000 light years away. When you see the twinkle of that star that is 4,000 light years away, that light was emitted before Moses parted the Red Sea. And we're now just being able to see the light that was let off of that star. A few can be seen at 4,000 light years away. And there are, and these are only the stars in our galaxy. What's the name of our galaxy? Milky Way. People, wake up. A galaxy is a vast gathering of usually billions of stars. Ours is the Milky Way galaxy with billions of stars. The next closest is Andromeda, and it is 2.3 million light years away. Now, you're probably thinking, well, you know what? The Bible says that the Earth is only a few thousand years old. How can this be possible? Well, the closer you get with all of the powerful telescopes, the further into space that you can see, so you're picking up that light a lot sooner than you are by the naked eye. So Andromeda Galaxy is 2.3 million light years away. And some scientists estimate that there are billions of galaxies, each containing billions of stars. When you hear a scientist say, "We just discovered a new galaxy," or "We have now seen the edge of the universe," no, they haven't. They're only seeing what man is capable of seeing. Guinness Book of World Records states that in June of 1994, a new group of cocoon-shaped galaxies was discovered, and the distance across that galaxy was 650 million light years. That's how big that galaxy is. Guinness also states that the most remote object ever seen by man appears to be over 13.2 billion light years away. They keep searching, they keep looking for the edge of their universe, and they keep finding that they don't even know half of what's going on out there. Isaiah 40, 12 and 13 says, "Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, or with the breadth of his hand marked off the heavens? Who has held the dust of the earth in a basket, or weighed the mountains on the scales and the hills in a balance? Who can fathom the Spirit of the Lord, or instruct the Lord as his counselor?" You see, when we look up, we take for granted that the stars are there. But until we put them into perspective, we diminish how big our God really is. How many limitations that we put on him in our own lives. "Well, you know, God, this might be a little too much for you. I think I'll handle this." I love when Job, all throughout the book of Job, he says, "God, why don't you listen to me? Why don't you respond to me? Why don't you tell me what's going on, why I'm going through this? I don't understand. Why are you silent?" And at the end of the book, God says, "All right, Job, you want me to answer? It's time to answer. But you need to sit there and be quiet." And he says, "I don't remember coming to you and asking for your counsel when I was placing all the stars in the universe. I don't remember needing to come to you to give me your wisdom on how to create this whole thing. Where were you? You're so smart. Where were you when I was doing all of this?" And Job gets to the point where he goes, "I am so sorry." You see, we often blame God for problems in our own lives that we created. We often think that there are certain things that God can't handle. We often think that sometimes our circumstances are too big for him. My Bible says that nothing is impossible for God. And when you put it into perspective on what he did in creation, there ain't nothing he can't handle. There is no heart that he can't turn. He turns the king or the heads of kings and princes. He places people as leaders. He's still on the throne no matter what it says on your television when you turn on CNN, CNBC, NBC, Fox, whatever. He's still in charge. And he can handle whatever you're going through. We just need to let him. See, my God is a gentleman. He's not going to force himself on you. But he also said, "I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. I will never turn my back on you. Do you want to let Ashley know that we're going to bring the music ministry team up? My prayer is that the next time that you bother to look up, that you'll remember that each one of those stars was put in place by God and His own fingers. The next time that you look up and basically look at the miracle that we live in, I hope that you remember that He is on the throne and not you. There's a joke. I think I've said it before. There's a scientist who's an atheist, and he's talking with God, and he thinks he's created the God particle. We now know how to create life. And he's talking with God, and he goes, "We don't need you anymore. We now know how to create life." And God says, "Oh, really? Well, show me how you do it." So the scientist bends over and he scoops up some dirt. And God goes, "Oh, no. You need to get your own dirt. That dirt's mine." And it's so true. God confounds the wisdom of the wise. He makes the wisdom of this world seem like foolishness. You know, when people say, "Well, your religion, your faith is just a crutch," we can say, "No, we honor the one who created everything, including us." And I love the psalmist that says, "What is man? You created all of these things. What is that little speck on that little tiny no good for nothing earth? Why do you care so much for mankind?" You know, God created us different than the animals. You see, when He created other things, He spoke them into existence. But with man, He fashioned with His hands, and then He blew life into them. He didn't do that with anything else except you and me. We need to know and remember how big our God really is, because it says that He measures the breadth of the universe and all of the stars from here to here. That's a pretty big God. And no matter what you're going through, I pray that next time you look up and things are going a little difficult, look up and go, "You know what? My God did that. He can take care of whatever I'm going through today. He can take care of my messed up marriage. He can take care of my messed up family. He can take care of my messed up kids." But we need to remember those things. When we look up, that God, like Angela says, He's the lifter of our heads. It's interesting that the stars are this way, least in perspective to us, because if you have a star app and you're doing this, if you point it down, it's showing you the ones on the other side of the earth too. But our perspective is whatever's above us. You see, God sees the whole picture at one time. We only see things through a certain perspective. And when we can change that perspective, we get a greater understanding of who God is and how mighty He is. So remember that. Take a little time to look up and say, "Thank you, God, for all that you've created." Because it is truly a blessing. You may not be a star nerd like me, but we can all take that time and appreciate God's creation and thank Him for it. Amen? Please stand.
Well, if that doesn't make you feel small, I don't know what will. But even though we are small, God still has us in the palm of His hands, like Jim said. He still cares for us. You know, the Bible says that all things were created by Jesus, for Jesus, and through Jesus. So when you look up at that night sky, just remember that is from Jesus. Jesus made that. You know, when Paul was often evangelizing, the Apostle Paul, he would tell people, the nature and the heavens, it all proclaims God's glory. It's up there so that we can look up there and be pointed towards God. God is huge. He's bigger than we can ever imagine, we can ever fathom, but he still cares for each and every one of us, and he loves each and every one of us, and he sees you right where you are at. So don't be afraid to reach out to him. Don't be afraid to call on his name, because he is near to those who reach out to him. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we are small, God. We are small on this earth, and our life is but a vapor. But Lord, we trust in you. We believe in you. We put our faith in you today, that you still see us, that you still hold us in the palm of your hand, that you love us. Lord, we know that all things were created through you, by you, and for you. And God, we just pray that today that you would be in our midst, that you would bless us with your presence, God, as we leave this place. God, we pray that if any, whatever we're struggling with in this place, whether it's health, family members that have walked away, or work, whatever it is, God, I pray that we would just give it all to you, that we would lay it at the feet of the cross, that we would know that you have won the victory, God. And Lord, we thank you so much for all that you've done in our lives and you will continue to do. We thank you for your Son, that he came to this earth. He became just a tiny human like us. He lived a perfect, sinless life, but ultimately he went to the cross and died. And God, we thank you that he rose again so that we can have eternity with you, so that we can have a relationship with you. So Lord, I just pray that as we leave this place, we would take this message to heart, that when we look up in the night sky, that it points us to you, that we would share your gospel message with those that we come into contact with, that we would live out your truth each and every day. And Lord, I just pray that today you would bless us with your presence, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.